fish, everybody. Say hello.
I assuming so.
Fletch is the only one who there was.
Oh, okay. I put the gavel at his place.
We'll come to order. Good morning, everybody.
Sue.
Excuse me, Sue. Bad habit. Sue, could you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Well, welcome, everybody, and welcome our special guests from Jefferson High School. We're very proud to have you with us. And before we do our official agenda this morning, we're going to celebrate some outstanding student athletes in our community. So would our three special guests from Jefferson please come forward? So before we acknowledge our guests, I'm going to see if any of my colleagues would like to say something, starting with Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm very proud today to recognize and honor the boys and girls teams of Jefferson High School for winning the state basketball championships. This is the third year in a row. The boys have won state, and the second time in 3 years that the girls have won state. Jefferson has been dominant not only in their league, but at the state level. And they have two All-American players, Ariel Reynolds and Terrence Jones. But that doesn't mean that these wins have come easily or without the support of their fellow classmates, parents, teachers, coaches, and the community. You have taken all of these people on your journey to state. And you can bet that everyone held their breath when Jasmine Smith stepped up to the free throw line against Crater.
That's right.
And during the first half of the boys' final against Mountain View. What stands out about Jefferson Athletics is that so many talented athletes come out of this school and go on to do great things for the community. In her first year as coach, Ikea Newton, a Jefferson demo herself, led the girls to the state win. Donnie Adair, who happens to work for us as our city diversity coordinator for the city of Portland, has been the voice of both the football and basketball programs for 10 years. His son Kenny will be taking on the announcing duties next year. Many famous graduates have come from Jefferson High School. Tony Hobson, who co-captained the 1972 state champion Jefferson team, started Self Enhancement, Inc. to help youth overcome barriers to success. There's also Nancy Wiley Riles, who went on to become a state senator. Jefferson athletes and students, you have a tradition of outstanding athletic and academic performance, as well as service to your community. So I want to recognize our panel, our distinguished panel here, Dr. Cynthia Harris, the principal of Jefferson, athletic director Mitch Whitehurst, and Donnie Adair. So we'll turn it over first to Dr. Harris.
Thank you so much. Today, Mitch is going to be the facilitator, but I would like to thank you, Dan Saltzman, for inviting us. And Nick Fish, who kind of is our partner. Thank you, Nick. And to Amanda and to our other commissioner as well. We're so honored to be here today, and we appreciate this opportunity. My theme this year has been, it's our time to shine. So I'm very proud of the young women and the young men from Jefferson, not only for their athletic ability, but for how we are achieving as well. And I would just like to single out Terrence Jones, who will be going to New York next year. Would you wave your hand, Terrence, next week, yes. And he has been a superstar. He's been doing really well in his academics. And his mom, Linda, is right there behind him. So we love him and appreciate. Then Ariel Rentals. Ariel, can you put it up there? She's been All-American for the young women and just a joy and a pleasure. And then my own special mentee, Jasmine Smith, who will be speaking later. So the last time they came to City Council, I couldn't come, but I wanted to make it my business to be here today to celebrate with the students. And then Donna Yadair, who's been a mentor for me and a friend and the voice of Jefferson. And he has the young ladies and young men at City Hall every year for the African American celebration, Black History Month. And you will remember Tom Potter, who loves Jefferson High School, and he came to City Hall. So I said, I have to go. I have to say thank you. I wanted to say it myself. So Mitch Whitehurst, who has done an excellent job, and he's still learning, but he's doing good, is going to introduce our program today. So I love you all, and I thank you so much. Mitch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks again for honoring Jefferson High School. And it's the community as well as you honor our basketball program. We've had a very successful year. And one of the reasons is because the gentleman down here on the end, Donnie Adair, has been donating his time for 10 years introducing and announcing Jefferson High School basketball and football. And I just want to say thank you to him, and I'm going to have him speak for us right now because he is the voice of Jefferson High School. When you come to the games and you're in the arena, you hear him, and you understand what Jefferson's all about. So, Donnie, could you give us some words, please?
President of the Council, members of the Council, thank you for the opportunity to be acknowledged today. Particularly as I was sitting here, I was looking at Randy and I was thinking, wow, we got a grand general that's going to vote on a resolution in support of the Jefferson Demos. We're really in the house today.
I haven't voted yet.
By the way, that's the nicest thing anyone said about Randy in months, so you're scoring points.
I'm Donnie Adair, resident of North Portland, and also blessed to be employed in the City Bureau of Human Resources, Diversity Development Affirmative Action Office, and it's an honor to be a volunteer with Jefferson Athletics. I've also served on the site council and with the Parent Teacher Student Association. And I want to say again to these two teams, which are really representatives of all Jefferson athletes, it has been a pleasure to call their names many times as they accomplish almost unbelievable feats on the basketball court. And I say almost unbelievable because we have a high expectation at Jefferson. We expect to win. As I've shared with people, in the 10 years that I've been doing this, we haven't lost three games in our house.
Whoa.
I haven't had to call three losses, so I'm like spoiled. We win at Jefferson High School, not only in the class, out on the court, but in the classroom as well. And regardless of what some believe, students can achieve their academic goals at Jeff. And there's all kind of examples. Of course, even in my own family, my son just graduated from University of Oregon. My niece, who I co-parented, graduated. I got a daughter who's about to graduate from George Washington Law School in June. So demos do achieve in the classroom. I accept this recognition the council has given me on behalf of really all the unsung volunteers of our program. They show up and they work without compensation, selling snacks, helping with crowd control, running out dry balls on a cold, wet, rainy night, and all kinds of things that they do, including the contributions of our coaches, which many of them are underpaid, and we do have a lot of volunteer coaches as well. And last but not least, I congratulate the coaches who are the really heart of our teams and the leaders of these young men and women and make them successful in sports, successful in the classroom, successful in life, and we indeed are demos for life.
Thank you, Donna. Now I'd like to introduce some of the students that are going to be speaking and representing Jefferson basketball. The young lady that you mentioned, Jasmine Smith, at the free throw line, she's coming up now along with Noah Kone. He's going to represent the boys and speak for them. And then after that, Dell Ball, one of the coaches, is going to give you a gift and give some information. So if you could please come up, we'd appreciate that.
Welcome to City Council. All you have to do is give us your name, and we're delighted you're here.
Thank you. I am Noah Kone. And, just want to thank the council for the opportunity to be honored here. It's a great honor. And to start off, just I want to thank the fans who supported us throughout the year. Tons of our family, you know, wouldn't be possible without them. Our coaches for working hard day in, day out. Our school for supporting us. And our administration especially, who was having our back. And three state championships wasn't easy. And my freshman year, we lost. And the group of seniors we have nine seniors. Some of them, about six of us, decided that it wasn't going to happen again. And since then, we just pushed strong and, you know, and were able to make history. And nine seniors that we do have are all going to go to college and play basketball or some football, but all will go off in the selected sport and continue their education. And that's the main goal, is to get our education paid for through athletics. That's what we were able to do. So just an honor to be part of this program. Thank you.
Where will you be going to school?
California Lutheran University.
Great.
Congratulations. Thank you.
I am Jasmine Smith, and I'm a senior. And it's an honor to be here. Thank you for this opportunity. And like the boys, we lost our freshman year and kind of took a toll on us. Came back, worked hard. It wasn't no easy process. Had to adjust some things. What we did, we had to change us. And we took a title. Then, following year, we lost. Which, us seniors, we really wanted it bad. So, any means necessary. So, practice was harder. And we had to adjust with a new coach. So, we had a lot of adjustment. And this whole journey was, it was really a great experience. And I'm glad that it happened this way. And I'm glad that we took the title my senior year as a way to end it. And I want to thank the fans and our school, everybody who's been supporting us, and our community, everybody. It's been a blessing to stand where we are as Jefferson, and it's been very fulfilling for my senior year. I've met majority of my goals, and this was one of my top goals, and I'm glad that it happened this way. So I enjoyed this whole journey, and I'm thankful to be here. Thank you.
And what will you be doing in the fall?
This fall, I will be attending Fisk University.
Fisk, great. Congratulations.
Great. As you can see through these spokespersons from our school, we have outstanding students. And before we leave, we'd like to make sure that all the students and players that are here be seen and recognized as well. But Dell Ball, could you please come up? And Dell Ball is one of the assistant coaches.
Thank you. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be here. To Randy, you should have been a demo, but we'll forgive you for that. One of the things that's been very exciting, and as Noah referred to, this group of young men, in the course of their first year, they didn't make it to the championship game, although we made it to the championship tournament. Since that time, this group has gone 71-9, undefeated in league the last 3 years. Rated 24th in the nation, according to the USA Today Super 25 in the final poll, which was released this week. Number 33, according to the ESPN Rise. And among that, we have one of the top recruits in the country in Terrence Jones, who is not only a McDonald's All-American, is a Parade All-American, and also is a PIL Player of the Year for the second year in a row, and also the State 5A Player of the Year for the second year in a row. Only two other people have had that honor as being back-to-back two-time Player of the Year award winners. So this is indeed a very special group, and not to be slighted, Stephen Madison and Terrence are also first-team All-State, and Stephen has been selected to play in the Oregon-Washington game, which is going to be on the 17th of April at the University of Portland at the Child Center. And Terrence, as they mentioned, is going to New York to play in the Jordan Classic on the 17th. And he's going to be playing this Saturday at the Rose Garden in the Nike Summit, which is the U.S. versus the world. So indeed, a very talented, gifted young man. At this time, we would like to just present you with a token of our appreciation into the city. And the thing that is kind of ironic about it, at the other end of this particular gift are the Grant Generals.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Nice.
Mitch, when we're finished with the presentation, could we get a picture with all the student athletes after your presentation?
Well, I think that would be appropriate, and they're here right now. And so what I'd like to do is to have Terrence Jones and you want, go ahead, Coach. You introduce the boys.
Terrence Jones, would you please stand up and come on up? Antoine Hosley, A.J. Johnson, Stephen Madison, Noah Kone, B.J. Jones, Andrew Roundtree, Rashad Dent, and Michael Mangum. Absent today, DePondre Johnson, Terrell Penny, and also Noah Eloise is not in the house with us today.
Okay. How do we
The Jefferson Democrats. Oh, and Tamir Polk. Sorry about that.
And for the girls, my name is Janine Dunn, and I'm alumni 76, and I kind of started this whole thing with IKEA when I came along, and I was assistant coach to IKEA when she first came to Jefferson. And so it's gone full circle, so now she is back coaching where I was her mentor, and now she now she's coaching these girls. So I want to introduce you to the girls on this team. You want to go with boys, and then we'll do the girls? Okay. Okay, for the lady demos, first of all, representing, she wore the number one is Jordan Reynolds. Number three, we had Danaya Brazzo. Number four, Danaya Brazzo. And then Arquasia was Arquasia Jackson. And then we had Jasmine Smith. And then we have Ariel Reynolds. And then we have Aubrey Carr. And then we have Sheree. I am so sorry, but the two other names, what? Tia. Then I have Gia. And Shandora. And in their absence, we had the coaches was IKEA Newton and Monica Brown and Marshall Goss.
So I just wanted to conclude by saying we do have a resolution we'll be voting on right here, and we'll provide you with a suitable for framing final copy of this version. I hope it's unanimous. And I just wanted to read the the final resolves. There's a lot of whereases, but I thought there were a couple things worth pointing out that we didn't talk about. Jefferson High School has produced two of the only seven All-American players in Oregon history. And we also, the whereas, Mayor Adams on March 18th declared March 18th a day of appreciation for both teams. And it is also resolved the City of Portland celebrates the 2010 Jefferson High School Democrats girls and boys champion basketball teams. And be it further resolved, the city recognizes that these championships would not have been possible without the support of the parents, teachers, coaches, administrators, and community members, and further resolved that the city also recognizes Donnie Adair, a Jefferson alum, for over 10 years of service as a football and basketball announcer for Jefferson. So as I said, we will get you a suitable for framing copy of this once we pass it.
Who would like to move the resolution?
I would. I'll move it.
Dan, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The resolution has been moved and seconded, and we will now move to a vote.
Let me just read the title into the record.
Oh.
Honor the significant accomplishments of the Jefferson High School's 2010 girls and boys basketball state champion teams. Fish.
Well, you honor us with your presence today, and when I was your age, a coach once said that once said to me, be the best on and off the field. And you epitomize that, giving your very best in the classroom and doing your very best in your chosen sport, and in doing so, bringing great distinction to your school and your families and our community. And we're honored to have you here today, and I'm very honored to support this resolution. Aye.
Salzman.
Himmels, I say, you know.
The demos, you make us very proud, and we're very pleased that you could be here today so that we could honor you in our city council chambers with our highest recognition. And we want you to keep it up. The seniors, we're counting on you to not only be reading about you in the headlines, but we also want to know that you're going to be finishing school and going on to successful careers. And I think you've got the stuff for success. And so best of luck to all of you, and we'll look forward to doing the celebration again next year. Of this time as well. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, today everybody in Portland is a Jefferson Democrat. So you've done the city proud. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, it's very appropriate that President Fish put this at the very start of the agenda because we know that you have to get back to school. And it's important to note that success on the basketball court also means success in school, that you can't play unless you're doing well in school and you have been good ambassadors for your community as well as for the basketball team. My son played basketball for Wilson and not to this level, and I would have to say that I know how dedicated you have to be and your families have to be to make it to all those practices, get your homework done, and do everything else that's required of you as good students. Terrence Jones, amazing that you are one of 48 players selected from 2,150 nominees, and you're chosen for your performance off the court as well as on it. So congratulations for that. And I also mentioned that Jefferson High School dual credit program or middle school college with PCC Cascade, where you've been able to earn college credit while you're in school, and that's a wonderful program. Jefferson High School is a jewel in our community, and I hope that this is just one more thing on the wonderful list of accomplishments of Jefferson High School students. Congratulations. Aye.
The resolution passes unanimously. We'll suspend the rules and applaud our heroes.
Woo!
Thank you all for coming. You're free to stay if you would like to watch the rest of our business. But if you have to go back to school, again, thank you for your time. And thanks to the family members and friends that join you today at our council. Again, we're honored to have you. Sue, we have council communications. Would you please read item number 458?
Request of Ibrahim Mubarak to address council regarding homelessness.
Mr. Mubarak, are you here? Apparently not. Could you please read Council Communication number 459?
Request of Calvin Martinez to address council regarding homelessness.
Mr. Martinez, are you present? Okay. Could you please call council communication number 460?
Request of Ken Lloyd to address council regarding homeless issues, housing, sit-lie, and anti-camping.
Mr. Ken Lloyd?
He's here.
Sir. Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you could just give us your first and last name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. My name is Ken Lloyd, or Reverend Ken Lloyd would be my title. I'm a resident of the Boyce Elliott neighborhood of North Portland. I've lived there for 11 years. I am co-pastor of Home PDX, which is a convenient local church for our friends who live outdoors in downtown Portland, and also a board member of Oregon Center for Christian Values. I was at the meeting, the sidewalk management meeting on Monday, and which is, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for doing that for us, because it's an amazing forum for people with different viewpoints on the issues of sidewalk use to get together and discuss in a courteous manner. And so at one point we were said, are there any clarifying questions? And I had a clarifying question. I knew that there were three members of the mayor's staff at the meeting. And so I turned to them and I said, it was our lawyers and it was my friend that were instrumental in getting the previous sit-lie ordinance declared unconstitutional. What can you tell me that will make a difference? How is it different this time? What can you tell me that will convince me to tell my lawyers to stand down in this situation? And I was informed by one of the members of the mayor's staff that the law was different. He didn't know exactly how it was different, but it is indeed different. And the police were asked, how will this be differently enforced? And we were again informed that it will be different, but we didn't know how it was going to be differently enforced. But the really interesting thing to me was, is that sitting at my table, everyone at my table represented business interests. I represent the interests of the homeless in this city. Sitting next to me was the facilities manager of Powell's Bookstore. Next to him was the manager of Powell's Bookstore. I felt like I was being thrown to the lions at this point. It was an uncomfortable experience, but I learned something that absolutely startled me. The manager and the facilities manager of Powell's Bookstore said the proposed law will not do the job of reducing the congestion in front of their store. And so I have a modest proposal. Why don't we scrap this and set up again a committee, a group, a working group of people to actually innovate a response to the use for the use of sidewalks in the city of Portland so that all people, homeless, business, disabled, and citizens can be included in this. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lloyd.
Mr. President, may I respond?
Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Reverend Lloyd. I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate your participation in the Sharing Public Sidewalks Committee. It is a beginning. It's a draft, and so you were right in at the beginning of the discussion. So the mayor and I will be working with the rest of the council to have those ongoing conversations.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Sue, could you please read council communication number 461?
Request of Terry Lynn Vick to address council regarding mistreatment of city employees at the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Is Terry Lynn here?
Well, we're not doing very well this morning. Let's try council communication number 462. I see Mr. Long is here.
Request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding a semantic solution to police brutality.
Mr. Long, welcome back to City Council. Yeah. If you could state your first and last name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Charles Long. I certainly appreciate the honor that Jefferson High School has received. It's a great honor for them, and they have a school that is struggling to stay alive, actually. they're having problems in that regard. Semantic is a term connoting the meaning of words and their impact on the psyche, philosophy, and eventually the actions of people. Words have consequences. The term police gives a wrong connotation of the purpose of law enforcement. Police implies suspicion, confrontation, aggression, attack, and assault. Law enforcers should be called peace officers in the Portland Peace Department. Peace suggests conciliation, reconciliation, restoration, and yes, mercy. When Tom Potter was mayor, I gave him a copy of Chuck Colson's pioneering book, Justice That Restores. I indeed think that should be the goal of law enforcement, not annihilation. Today, the police have a wrong conception of themselves and their function. They seem to have a sanctimonious, arrogant, self-righteous demeanor and a sense of infallibility. I think that too often they perceive themselves as prosecuting attorney, judge, jury, jailer, and executioner. I think that all police killings of the past decade were unnecessary and the result of flawed police procedures, including the most recent one at the Arboretum. Jason Walters responded on his own initiative, had no police backup, and did not use non-lethal methods. His only solution was to kill. Chief Rosie Sizer's comments on reform of the independent police review process was disappointing. I think she should be replaced by someone that believes in reform, such as Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes of the Albina Minister Alliance. So much to say in so little time, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long. We'll now move to the consent agenda. Are there any items which any member of the council would like pulled? Hearing none, Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
We are now going to move to our regular agenda. Sue, would you please read item number 481?
Appoint Megan Kars to the Portland Community Media Board of Directors for a term to expire November 30, 2012.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. I asked for this to be on the regular agenda so I could say a few words about Megan, even though she's not able to be here today. Megan Kars is an accounting manager for Portland Center Stage and has also worked for Young Audiences of Oregon and the Regional Arts and Culture Commission. She served on the Portland Community Media Board from 2001 to 2004. Portland Community Media, which I am the liaison to as through the Office of Cable Communication and Franchise Management, is an independent nonprofit. Like many nonprofits, they're facing difficult financial times right now beyond the mandatory 2.8 cut from the city. Megan will be a great addition to the Portland Community Media Board because of her previous service on the board and accounting background. I request your approval of this appointment.
Thank you. Is there a presentation?
No, that's it.
Has anyone signed up to testify, Sue?
I did not have a sign up on this one.
Okay. Is there anyone here who would like to testify on this appointment? Okay, let's take the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. It's really important to recognize our volunteers who put huge amounts of time into service for the city and for nonprofits. Aye.
Congratulations to Ms. Kars. Could you please read council item number 482?
Authorize the director of the Bureau of Human Resources with the concurrence of the city attorney to commence legal proceedings to protect the city's interests during successor contract collective bargaining negotiations.
Ms. Decker, welcome.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Yvonne Decker, and I'm the director for the Bureau of Human Resources. I don't have a lot to say about the resolution. This is a resolution that I want to make clear is limited to these contract negotiations only, and to let council know that we have an executive session set for the 27th, and certainly there are a couple of issues that we are having in negotiations that we're currently working on strategies as far as what our approach should be. This resolution allows us, allows me the flexibility that I need to move quickly with consultation with, you know, council and the mayor. I do brief the mayor weekly concerning contract negotiations, and so the mayor felt that it was appropriate for us to move forward with this resolution. I'm going to let Stephanie Harper talk a little bit about, Stephanie was the drafter of the resolution. Just cover a few more issues.
Ms. Harper?
Good morning. My name is Stephanie Harper. I'm a deputy city attorney with the city attorney's office. As Yvonne mentioned, the bargaining process does require a high level of flexibility and nimbleness at the bargaining table. And in order to protect the city's interests, in historically speaking, in past negotiations, there have been times when it would be in the city's interest to file, if need be, legal actions such as unfair labor practice complaints in order to obtain clarity about scope of bargaining kinds of issues. For example, what issues must we bargain about versus what issues may we bargain about. And the State Employment Relations Board is there to provide clarity to the parties during the bargaining process if there are disputes, and also allows the parties to take action if a party at the table is acting contrary to the good faith bargaining obligation at the table. And so we want to be prepared in the event that this authorization is required, then we can move quickly in order to protect the city's interests, if need be, at the State Employment Relations Board.
Thank you. Questions from council members? Commissioner Fritz?
I want clarity about how it's limited to this successor bargaining discussions rather than later ones.
This is our current. This does talk about the successor contract collective bargaining negotiations and then refers to the contracts that are currently expiring effective June 30th, 2010. So we understand that to apply only to the current negotiations.
So it's okay with the legislative intent.
Successor, yes.
Successor would not mean any future successor?
No, it means the current contract negotiations underway.
So in the last resolve, it says that the Human Resources Director or City Attorney are to report back to council regarding such actions. How do you plan on actually doing that?
Commissioner, I would do as I normally do, where either I will be scheduling executive sessions and I will also continue to do my walkthroughs with council. As you know, I'm constantly calling and saying, I need to get on your schedule. We need to talk about an issue. That would continue. And
Not in a forum like this, but executive session or one-on-one.
Correct.
Other questions? Sue, I'm assuming, did anyone sign up to speak?
No, they did not.
All right. Hearing no more questions, is there a thank you very much for presentation. Council discussion? Sue, let's take it to a vote.
Fish.
I appreciate this. Well, this is a resolution. Do we need to have it?
We already did.
We did that, excuse me. Yeah. Yvonne, I appreciate the briefing I got from you on this and the surgical impact of this particular resolution, and my confidence is further enhanced by the fact that you will be consulting with us at the very least after the fact, and the council or the mayor who leads our labor negotiations, but the council could at some point weigh in, and we could revise our strategy if that was the will of the council. So
definitely.
I believe there's sufficient checks and balances in this proposal to move forward. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you both for answering my questions and concerns. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The matter passes. Thank you. Sue, could you please read Council Item 483?
Okay, claim of Nicole Whitley.
They're going to handle it. Okay.
Welcome to City Council.
Thank you.
Who would like to start?
I'll start.
I'm Jennifer Johnston, Deputy City Attorney with the City Attorney's Office. I'm here to recommend that we pay $170,000 to settle the lawsuit that Nicole Whitley has brought against the City of Portland. Prior to this session, I made available to those of you who requested it additional information about the particulars. But in general, we do recommend that we make this settlement to avoid the risk of a higher jury verdict and the potential of being required to rehire Ms. Whitley as a Portland police officer.
Questions?
Do you want to add anything?
No, I don't have anything to add.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Sue, anyone sign up to testify?
No, they did not.
Okay, let's take it to a vote.
Fish?
These are not proceedings that I or any other of this member of this council relishes having to vote on. I will say, as I've said in the past, that one of the risk factors that is of great concern to me in cases is the potential that the city could get an adverse ruling and, in addition to having an award of damages, be required under the applicable civil rights statutes to pay the attorney fees of the plaintiff. And in particularly federal court litigation, those fees can be, in some cases, dwarf the amount of the damage claim. So we are to sit in judgment on these as custodians of limited resources and to make the best judgment. Our decision does not reflect on the underlying facts or our resolve to prevent these occurrences from happening again. That perhaps is for a different forum. But today it's the question as to whether we follow your recommendation and settle the case. I'm persuaded that the risk to the city is sufficiently high that this is a prudent decision and one that I will regretfully support. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I am loath to settle this lawsuit. I do believe the recommendations of the city attorney's office and the risk management are sound. Unfortunately, at the crux of the lawsuit are inappropriate comments made by a trainer who was not employed by the City of Portland, but rather by the Department of Public Safety Standards Training. The Portland Police Bureau and the City's Attorney's Office have taken steps to ensure that comments like this are not made by DPSST personnel to our recruits in the future. And due to the risk identified by our city attorney, I will also support this settlement. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I concur with Commissioner Saltzman's comments and Commissioner Fisher's wise counsel. And I also appreciate having this as a public hearing so that opponents could have come forward to give their a different side of the story. So that's an important piece of the public process to me. Aye.
Thank you.
The ordinance passes. Thank you both very much. Sue, would you please read Council number 484?
Award a contract with ACS State and Local Solutions, Inc. for red light camera system at approximately $750,000 per year for contractual cost not to exceed $3,750,000.
Welcome to City Council. Who'd like to go first?
Commissioner
Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the request of Commissioner Fritz, I had these items rescheduled and moved to our regular agenda. Commissioner Fritz had questions about these photo radar system contracts, and Commissioner Fritz and I also felt there was a community interest in learning more about photo radar programs in the city. As traffic, pedestrian, and bike safety are one of the top livability issues for many Portlanders, and the Portland Police Bureau's traffic division is of prime importance to ensuring safety and livability in our city. With that, I'd like to welcome up, we have representatives of purchasing and Captain Eric Hendricks of our traffic division.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. And today we are presenting two ordinances for council approval to ACS State and Local Solutions for red light camera systems and photo radar systems. The price agreements are each for an estimated $750,000 per year, with a not-to-exceed amount of $3,750,000 for the five-year contractual term. In August of 2009, the city issued two requests for proposals for the systems, and three responses were received for each RFP. an evaluation committee made up of 5 evaluators selected ACS as the most qualified respondent, receiving the highest evaluation score on both RFPs. 20% of the total contract dollars will go to local MWSB firms. And I'll turn this over to Captain Hendricks from the Portland Police Bureau to give a brief overview of the programs.
Good morning. I'm Captain Eric Hendricks of the Traffic Division. I'll just give a brief overview of the photo radar and photo red light programs. The Oregon legislature mandated or gave us the legal ability to conduct both programs back in 1995. The photo radar program started here in Portland in 1996, and the red light camera program was added in 2000. The current vendor under the current contract is ACS State and Local Services from Portland. In an earlier ordinance, Council directed the Police Bureau to deploy photo radar vans in school zones, highway work zones, residential streets, and other streets that have a high number of collisions or speeding complaints. Every 2 years, Oregon law mandates each city that operates a photo radar program or photo red light program to conduct an evaluation of the program and submit a report to the legislature. The program goals of the Police Bureau are to reduce speeding, to reduce collisions, and to save lives. The Traffic Division currently employs 2 full-time photo radar vans, and there are 2 full-time police officers devoted exclusively to that program. There are an additional 13 officers within the Traffic Division that are trained to use that equipment. Once again, the primary areas of photo radar enforcement are, of course, school zones, work zones, what we call safe zones, which stands for strategic and focused enforcement zones. Those zones are designated by PBOT, and essentially we'd call them a high crash corridor. A street that PBOT identifies, there's a large number of crashes, they'll designate a safe zone with us, and there are currently 18 safe zones in the city. Once again, we deploy the vans in areas that have a history of speed-related crashes and areas that have generated a large number of citizen complaints. A good example of photo radar deployment from 2008, which was the last year we reported to the legislature, the top 5 locations for deployment were the 2200 block of Southeast 92nd Avenue, that's a posted school zone, the Morrison Bridge eastbound, a long history of speed-related crashes and collisions there. The third one was 75th and Northeast Killingsworth. Once again, that area has a history of speed-related complaints. The fourth was 108th and Southeast Stark, a posted school zone. And the fifth one was the 2300 block of Southeast 148th, once again, another posted school zone. There's currently 11 intersections around the city with red light cameras. Those locations were chosen by the Bureau of Transportation, once again, based on the large number of red light-related collisions. I don't think I'm going to go through all 11, but I'll just let you know there is one right down the street at 4th and Jefferson you may not have been aware of.
I happen to know there's one on 20th and Burnside as well.
Yes, there is, Commissioner. Yeah. I came very close to getting one the other
day. 17th, actually. 17th
I came very close to getting one myself over on Grand the other day. So,
do we have those listed somewhere on the city's website?
I don't know, but we can provide that. PBOT can provide that, I believe.
Because the goal is to have people stop running the red lights, so it would be good for them to know that if they run those particular red lights, it would seem like a good thing to have up on the list.
Actually, I would suggest they not know where they are at all and think that everyone has a camera.
That's another point, too. Keep going,
worked
sorry.
With me.
In 2009, photo radar issued 21,206 speeding citations, and in 2009, once again, the red light camera program issued about 10,800 citations. By way of comparison, police officers in the city last year issued about 70,000 citations, 40,000 in the traffic division and 30,000 out in the precinct. So about 70% of all the citations issued are issued by actual, if you will, live police officers. We believe the photo radar program is a force multiplier within the traffic division. I know you've heard from the assistant chiefs, and every division of the police bureau would like to have more resources, more personnel resources. The traffic division is no different. I've currently got about 30 what I call primary ticket riders. Most of the officers that conduct traffic enforcement in the police bureau ride motorcycles as a part of their everyday duties, and we have about 30 of them. The photo radar program is a force multiplier. I can set a photo radar van in a school zone or a work zone or an area that has a large number of speeding complaints, put them there for 4 hours, And I think it's a very efficient way of following up on citizen complaints and complaints from officers or PBOT regarding high crash areas or a noncompliance with the speed laws. Surveys in the past have shown that both programs, the photo red light and the photo radar, have a high degree of public acceptance. There was a survey done back in 2003 by Davis and Hibbets, showed that drivers disobeying traffic signals was our citizens' second highest traffic concern, following that of impaired drivers. The same poll showed that 87% of city residents were concerned about speeding. Another poll by the same company in 2005 showed that 68% of respondents agreed with the use of this program in school zones, and that 85% stated that they would drive slower all of the time if they saw photo radar used three times a week. In the 2009 biennial report that PBOT made to the legislature on the photo red light program, they've stated that their statistics show that injury crashes have decreased by 30% over a four-year period at intersections where photo red light equipment was installed. The bottom line for us on this new five-year contract or proposed contract, it's a continuation of our existing program. It allows us for the updating of obsolete equipment, and I'm not a technician, but essentially our old equipment now relies on wet film, just like my 35-millimeter SLR camera I've got up on the closet. You take the film out, you take it down to Fred Meyer's or wherever and have it processed. The new equipment will be entirely digital, and it will allow a citizen that gets a photo red light or a photo radar ticket to get on the website provided by the vendor and actually look at it on their home computer and make a determination as to guilt or innocence. That more efficient and new technology has the potential to reduce officer court time and allows for future expansion of the program if requested by the Bureau of Transportation, citizen complaints, input from elected officials and other partners. That's the summary of the program.
So I just have a question about how these are legally tested in court. Now, I understand in Commissioner Leonard's case, he claimed it was Ty Kovach behind the wheel, but that didn't carry the day. But when you have a photograph that shows a person behind the wheel, and it's a clear picture, and I assume with digital it'd be even clearer, and you've got the identifying information in terms of time, and what are the legal challenges that people can raise to such a citation?
Well, the first thing is that the equipment has to get a clear picture, not only the driver, commissioner behind the wheel, but a clear picture of the license plate. And once the license plate, a clear picture of the license plate and the driver is obtained, the registration is ran, and then the citation is sent to the registered owner of the vehicle. And the registered owner can take a look at it, and if they believe that it's not them, they can complete what they call a certificate of innocence and send that back to the court and say, hey, I wasn't driving the car at 17th and Burnside on February the 1st. After a number of those certificates of innocence are collected by the court, they're sent over to the traffic division. Member of my staff, Sergeant Todd Davis, or one of his officers, they will download the DMV photographs of the registered owners. They will compare the photograph taken by the photo radar equipment to the photograph on file at the Department of Motor Vehicles of the registered owner and determine, is this the same person? If it's the same person, then we'd go ahead with the issuance of the citation. If it's not the same person, then the citation will end up being dismissed. And there actually is, with the old equipment, there's a relatively high rate of non-issuance based on that. The registration is run, and in fact, it's not the registered owner, or the photograph is less than clear, or there's no front license plate, or a myriad of other factors. The new equipment will likely make that more efficient and likely make the issuance rate higher than it is now.
Thank you. Other questions? Commissioner?
Well, first, thank you to Commissioner Salzman for having this hearing, and Shannon Callahan in your office is very helpful, and both Christy Moody and Captain Hendricks, you've been very helpful to my staff. So could you describe to me, maybe Christine, the net gain after expenses to the city? Do we know how much money goes into the general fund from this program, either of you?
Yes, we do, and I'm going to defer to Bob Del Ghizzi, the senior financial analyst from the Police Bureau. He can provide the fiscal information.
Thank you.
Last year,
if you could come to the mic, please.
My name is Bob Delgazzi. I'm the Business Operations Supervisor at the Police Bureau. Last year, for the two programs together, net of costs, $19,000 of net revenue was generated.
Okay. And so, thank you. What about, Commissioner Fish asked questions about challenging the citation. What about issues like for the red light camera, challenging between yellow light and red light? How is that dealt with?
Well, I know that, and actually I may defer this question to Sergeant Todd Davis. He's actually the expert, but I know, well, I'll just defer to Sergeant Davis. Sergeant Davis, can you answer the commissioner's question?
Good morning, I'm Sergeant Todd Davis, also from the Traffic Division. Ma'am, in the red light cameras, under Oregon state law, you're actually required to stop at a yellow light unless it's unsafe to do so. With the red light camera program, we actually give the violator the red light or the yellow light. They have to cross the stop bar against a red light in order for the cameras to be triggered and a citation to be issued. Right now, 10 of our current intersections are one-dimensional wet film intersections. They'll take one frontal view, and transposed on the photograph is a data bar that shows the red light or the yellow light was X amount of seconds, and the light was actually red for another X amount of seconds when the person crossed the stop bar. The last intersection that we put in at 96 and Foster is how we want all the intersections to look. It's a dual digital camera system that and also has a 12-second video clip. And as the captain stated, they'll be able to look at this online. It shows a very high-quality digital photo of the front of the vehicle, the driver. But from the rear, it will actually show a video clip of the vehicle entering the intersection against the red light. We did a demonstration to all the traffic court judges with this technology, and they were very impressed and indicated they would like all of our intersections to look like that.
Thank you. And then one question about photo radar. Is there any margin of error built in for a certain amount over the speed limit?
Yeah, we have a threshold of 11 miles per hour over the speed limit, which we think is more than fair, especially in a posted school zone.
Thank you.
Other questions?
And just one final one. You had mentioned about the report to the legislature. Does the council get a copy of that report?
I can provide that.
I'd like that. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Sue, anyone sign up to testify?
Yes, Andrea Meyer.
So, Captain Hendricks, I just want to say it's really good to see you back on duty.
Thank you, sir. It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to also add that. I think looking at you, most people wouldn't realize what a serious traffic accident you and your wife were involved in. I think it was last September.
Yes.
When a car crossed the line at Highway 30 and hit your car, and you were life-flighted to Emmanuel. And it's just you've had a remarkable recovery, and we're glad to see you back, and I hope your wife is doing well, too.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you both. So we're going to have testimony, and then we'll vote on this. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Andrea, you want to come up? Welcome to City Council. If you could just give us your first and last name and your organizational affiliation.
Yes, good morning. Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I'm here today because I think there's some important questions that need to be answered before you proceed with what is close to two ordinances totaling over $7.5 million contracts over a five-year period for both the red light and the photo radar. The first issue is a due process concern that we have. The problems around the country, and you've touched on them briefly around the calibration, even minor changes can really greatly affect the number of tickets. There's an incentive for an increased number of tickets when contract payments are based on the cut of each ticket, and that is the model we have here in Portland. And there's a question about when there's no issuance or when there's no recovery of the ticket that you've just talked about. What happens? Does ACS still get payment for that? So what steps are taken by the city to ensure